So on Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, let's just review the last piece of Gemara that we did, and that is the statement of Rav Papa. And you'll see this about, I would say, 12 lines down from the top. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Much of what we've been doing is to analyze the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Kizayis sha'amru chutz mishal bein hashinayin. Keep in mind that according to Reish Lakish, the definition of achila is hanas me'ayin. So if there are particles that make up this kizayis that are stuck between his teeth, then those cannot be calculated and integrated into the kizayis, because they weren't sent down to his digestive tract. Rabbi Yochanan Amar af im bein hashinayim. When you calculate the kizayis, it should include even that which is caught between your teeth, because after all, you chewed that, and to some extent, you got a benefit from it. And we said that le'isa, the chewing, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is what defines achila. Right? In fact, that was the reason why Rabbi Yochanan said that you don't have to swallow the entire kizayis in one hole. You can swallow it. That was called mibifnim, chilko mibifnim. And you chaya for that. Omar Rav Papa was bothered by this. He thought that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not called hanos grono. Hanos grono is not just that which you chew with your teeth. Hanos grono has to move somewhere around the mouth. And therefore he said, Bishel bein hashinayim kuliyama lo pligi. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're not chayev in terms of comprising a kizayis for that which is stuck between your teeth. That's not a food or a part of the food that circulates throughout the mouth and it can be considered included in le'isan and hanos grono. Ki pligi, where would Rabbi Yochanan be more machmir than Reish Lakish? In bein hachanichayim. Now it's part of the food that maybe at the end of the day you didn't swallow, but it was circulating throughout the mouth and it went up to the palate. That's called bein hachanichayim. And Maris over here's where Rabbi Yochanan is machmir to say that yechai frachilus kizayis shere nene grono bekizayis, because that's considered and that constitutes an achila from which you were nene, even though you never actually swallowed it, so you can't say that it went down to your me'ayim, but we can call it hanas grono. And I think, Jeff, last time you had a word for it in English. What was your word?
Either
gullet
or esophagus.
The gullet, the esophagus. Okay, different parts of the achila here. Fine. Now, Marsova, the conclusion of this presentation is that Reish Lakish would say you're not chaya for that which is lomi boy, that which is bein achinichayim, but even that which is bein achinichayim, if it's bein achinayim, that's upgaret. That's not even a discussion in Reish Lakish's frame of reference. But even that which is bein achinichayim and has some sort of profound influence, where let's say you enjoy some flavor that comes out of the food, but nevertheless it didn't go down the esophagus into the stomach, and therefore it's not considered achila, it's not achilas me'ev. And here Reish Lakish would be mekil. Now my premise here is that this sugi that we learned now, this in the last few minutes, is not an Avram and Achai sugi. Up until this point, we've been learning and studying Avram and Achai and vacillating back and forth what the chidush of Avram and Achai, what implications it has on the universal halachas of that govern Shar Macholos Asuros. For example, we suspended the operation of the principle of Tziruf, what we called Tokideh Achilas Pras. That doesn't operate by Avram and Achai. Perhaps in Avram Achai we have to go as far as to say in Tosus' frame of reference that the entire kizayis went into his mouth in one fell swoop. That's all Eiv Machek. But this discussion here is a universal discussion about how to define Achila, and it would apply to Nevela and Dam and Bas V'Cholov, etc., etc., etc. In the flip side, in terms of a mitzvah, I would apply the same yardstick. So, for example, if someone would chew a kezayis of matzah but not swallow the matzah, then according to Reish Lakish, he would not have fulfilled his mitzvah of matzah, because the Torah's definition of achila requires hanos me'ayim, and he never digested it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, okay, I don't know if part of the kezayis gets stuck between the teeth, that's going to be the business here of Rav Papa, but at least that which you really, you know, circulate throughout the mouth and you get the taste of the matzah, even if at the end of the day you didn't swallow it, I would say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you fulfilled the mitzvah. And that sort of leads us to the next sugya about a person who chews something up and never swallows it, he regurgitates it. And I'm wondering, for example, we have a mitzvah on Shabbos of Onik Shabbos. There, I'm hesitant to apply these rules and this yardstick to a mitzvah like Onik Shabbos. So in matzah, the Torah says achila. Mm-hmm. On Shabbos, it doesn't say the word achila. You know, in Shabbos, the emphasis is on v'karosel Shabbos Onik. It's hard for me to accept that Onig could be achieved in the case of a person who regurgitates something and never actually swallows. I don't know. I'm wondering about that. What do you think?
Is it subjective, Onig? Is that saying that someone who likes to fast? I don't know.
Oh, yes. You know, the Ramos says that a tainus chalom is also a kiyum of Onig in the name of the Gaonim. And therefore, it might be... See, I'm not sure if it works in the way that you said it's subjective versus objective. You know, I don't know if we're going to ask every individual, well, did you have pleasure and benefit from this achila? There may be objective standards by which the halacha governs and defines what constitutes onik Shabbos. But I'm tempted to think that achila l'chud, for example, in the mitzvah of matzah, and onik l'chud in the case of a karas l'shabbos onik, and it's not fair to assume ipso facto that if X qualifies as achila, therefore it qualifies as onik. And we might get to the point where in achila you can actually eat the same half a zayis twice and it would constitute an achila of a kezayis, but I don't think in onik terms you would say that he benefited from, you know, yeah. Well, for example, we're going to have the sugya in Mirtz Hashem in 5 minutes about ikul. You know, maybe at some point the food is refuse, it's waste, it's not really an ochel. Or maybe on the other hand, it's not equal and it would constitute an achila. That might make sense where the Torah's definition is achila, but not where the Torah's definition is onik. And there I would say, certainly, to say that I have a great kiyum of onik Shabbos because I ate something that was already eaten once before, and I'm eating it a second round, I have doubts about that. On Erev Yom Kippur, which I mentioned last week, I'm not sure if that's a mitzvah achila, or if that's really a mitzvah onik. How would you define achila on Erev Yom Kippur? The Torah never uses the term achila. We call it achila in our language. You find in the poskim, but in the Torah language, it doesn't say that. It just says that you should do something which is the opposite of inui, because it says batisha be'erev. Nisan is not just batisha be'erev, and then we derive from that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. I would be inclined to put that in a category similar to Onik Shabbos, and I'm not sure. Maybe the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippur is actually Achila. I don't know. They say about the Brisker Rav that on Erev Yom Kippur he used to keep something in his mouth, even a sucking candy, the entire day, to make sure that he was involved in Achila the whole day. So maybe he understood that it's really a mitzvah of Achila per se. I mean, the Nachkimina would be a tainis chalom. We said that according to the Ramah, you could fast the tainis chalom on Shabbos, and that would be a kiyum of onik. But what about on Erev Yom Kippur? I don't know, in Erev Yom Kippur, there might be a separate halach of achila, And therefore, tainus, even if it's pleasurable for you because you're in the state of agmas nefesh, because you had a bad dream, that might be antithetical to achila. And especially if you assume that the achila of Erev Yom Kippur is meant to fortify you and prepare you for the fast of Yom Kippur, then it's hard for me to believe that a tainus chalom would be acceptable. It might constitute and qualify as oneg Shabbos, but not as achila of Erev Yom Kippur. So that would be an interesting discussion.
Consider breaking a fast. You ate, and therefore you broke the fast. You couldn't rush lucky if you can chew things around in your mouth.
And you haven't broken your fast.
You haven't eaten.
You haven't eaten yet, right? That would be interesting. Or do we say no, that anything that breaks up the inui, that itself is achila as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. It's not achila in universal standards of halacha because you didn't have anos grono, but maybe it would be enough if you suck the juice out and the flavor out of the food that you've broken up your inui. I don't know. I don't know enough about inui really to tell you, because it could be that if nothing goes down your belly and you don't feel satiated, maybe you're still in the state of inui. Maybe even Rabbi Yochanan could agree that although this would be achila in Kol Tarkulu, it would not be achila on Yom Kippur because it's not antithetical or exclusive of Inui. You know, you could. There's a Rashi in Yuma that seems to assume that that eating is the greatest preparation for Inui because you enjoy the food so much and then you don't eat it. That itself intensifies your level of inui. There's such a Rashi. So now we get to the sugi that we wanted to cover today, and hopefully make a little bit. I don't know if anybody brought some schnapps along, but make a siyum on Perek Yid Anoshe. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, Ochal Chatzi Zayis Vihikio. He ate a Chatzi Zayis and then he regurgitated it. And then he ate another chatzi zayis. Can we integrate the first chatzi zayis into the zayis? And the answer is yes. Chayav. My taima, sharei nena grono b'kizayis. Clearly, Reish Lakish would not be happy with this statement. But Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasa was very consistent that the achila of the Torah is achilas goron, anos grono. And even if he didn't swallow the first one, I mean, he may have swallowed it, but that, you know, that state was reversed by regurgitating vikio. It doesn't matter. That chatzis ice is part of the achila. I want to just add here that lechora, we have a different issue here. Even if I would verify or accept the premise of Rabbi Yochanan that the first half of Zayis is an achila because Vanos Grono, but we have another problem of Tziruf because he has to eat one whole Kizayis. And I would have to assume here that we're operating within the framework of Toch Kidei Achilas Pras. This might not help us in the case of Avram and Achai, and this would be further proof to my premise of before that we've already dropped our discussion about Avram and Achai. We're on to greater, bigger and better things, meaning Achila in Kol HaTarkula. But again, you have to add a footnote here that it's Toch Kidei Achilas Pras, because otherwise, if the second Kizayis that he ate was 8 minutes later, then you have another problem, that there's no tziruf in the achila. And now I have a footnote here. I may have to photocopy this for you. I didn't get a chance to do so, but we'll see. Rashi, which is the introduction to this footnote, Sharei Nene, let's look it inside, Sharei Nene Grono. Do you have that, Rashi? Again, I'm finding it hard to pinpoint where it is.
Halfway down the page.
If you look at Tosis, Divra Masel Kol Abos, and you go up about 2-3 lines, and then I don't know if that helps at all. But Rashi says the following: Hare nena grono b'tam shnei chatzoi zeisen. His garon, his palate, what was the word you used again, Jeff? What was before the esophagus? The gullet, right? His gullet has enjoyed the benefit of the taste of both of these chatzoi zeisen. Now this is a statement of Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan. Rashi now wants to know, can we reconcile this statement of Rav Asi with the previous statement of Rav Dimi? You may recall that Rav Dimi came from Bavel, and he was of the opinion that you have to eat the entire kezias together at one moment. And Rashi says, the hadar of Asi pligi, pliga adar of Dimi, v'rov, and diamri liel mishmed Rav Yochanan, chilko v'bachutz pot, that unless you ate it together, this entire kezias, you're not chayef. V'anene grono. Now, I thought that Rashi is overstepping his bounds, so to speak, by comparing this statement of Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan with the previous sugya of Rav Dimi. The previous sugya of Rav Dimi was focused exclusively on Avram and Achai. And that chidush of Avram and Achai requires that you eat the entire kezias bevasachas. This sugya here, Rav Asi, is not addressing Avram and Achai at all. So I just want to point out this footnote here that I have in the Masifta, and he writes the following. Bir Rashi, Diim Holchim Achra Hanas Grono, Yesh Lechaivo, Achal Pisha Ochlam Baze Achar Ze, Lefisha Ochlam Bitoch Kidei Achilas Pras. Okay, so I didn't read the end of the Rashi here. The Rashi says, "Vahade the nene grono mishum danos grono haynu to ima v'etam shnei chatzis zeis v'afgav the zecher zehu lo ichpas lan hoil ubichdei achilas pras havi." So Rashi says that the key of keys here to understand what underlies Rav Asi's statement that Yechayim is that it was tochidei achilas pras. That's called Hanas Grono. He writes, Ubir Dvar Vatiferes Yaakov. The Tiferes Yaakov explains Rashi. Ho v'ikar chiv hu ha'ana nechshav shanas chatzi zayis harishon adayin kayemis. The hana that he benefits from the first kezayis is still in existence. Otherwise, if it's not, it doesn't link up and integrate with the second half of Zayas. And why is it linked up? The Hano, why is it still there? Because it's Achlo Tochidei Achilas Pras. So whatever you eat within this span of 8 minutes, we'll call it, whatever the time of Kesechim, is all one Hano. The Hano that you benefited, that you enjoyed at the beginning of the 8 minute period is not lost. It still is very much alive. Aval im holchim achranos meov, that's Reish Lakish. Pot, why? Lefisha hanos me'ayim hi hasvia, the sense of feeling satiated, feeling full, milui akeres, when he fills up his belly. But v'kan, lo hayash zayish sholim v'vidno shekshebol sachas zayis hasheni kvar hiki es harishon. So he doesn't have anos me'ayim of a kezias worth. Then he writes, according to Rashi, Rav Asi choliker of Dimi v'Rav and Shomru Liel b'Shem Rav Yochanan shechil komish chutzpoter shrei Omar kan she'af shehiki es chatzis zayis harishon rei uchaya v'mochal ashneim tol kedei achilas pras. The Kalmachomer kishechilko mibachutz viochal shnei chatzoy zayis bezecher zeh v'lo hikias harishon sha'iachayav ledaito. According to Rashi, Rav Asi rejects the entire Sugiliel, because if Rav Asi is willing to say that if you regurgitated the first half of Zayis, nevertheless you chayav because of Tokedei Achilas Pras, how much more so if he split the two halves and then ate them both, and he's chewing a full Zayis in his mouth, the whole Zayis, the two chatzon, simultaneously, certainly it'd be chayav. Because he swallows a full zayas. That's even better than the case of Rav Asi. So if Rav Asi's mechayev you, he didn't swallow the half zayas, how much more so he did swallow the half, you know, the full zayas, right? Even the first zayas. And that is against Rav Dimi and Rav Asi, who require that you actually have to put into your mouth a full zayas in order to be chayev. Here, obviously, he didn't do so, because he doesn't have a full zayas in his mouth at the same time. He's not chewing up a full zayas simultaneously. Says the Marshah, is mavur midivrei Rashi sherav asi medaber be'aver menachai. The whole sugya of Dimi and Ravin before was Aver Menachai. It must mean that Rashi understood that Rav Asi is addressing Aver Menachai. That's not the way I wanted to say pshat. The hair, and the Marsha comments, again, keep in mind the Marsha is like 5 centuries after Rashi, she'ein dvar muchrochim, that there's no need, we're not compelled to understand the sugya of Rav Asi the way Rashi understood it. The efshel afarish es divrei Rav Asi b'shar isurim. Rav Asi is making a universal a comment or a ruling that's universal in nature, and it's not addressing the case of Eivor Menachai. Masha enke be'Eivor Menachai shu chidush be'emes ein letzar v'shnei chatzi zeisim. V'ayim b'ramban shachen pirish shorav asi medaber b'shar isur v'lo be'Eivor Menachai. So there's no need to create a machlokas here between Rav Asi and our sugya and Rav Dimi in the previous sugya, the way Rashi created it. Rashi said they're mutually exclusive, because Rashi's premise was that Rav Asi, like Rav Dimi, is addressing Eivor Menachai. The Ramban says no, Rav Asi is addressing Shari Yisurim. Enoch Inami and Eivor Menachai was a chidush. He'd have to eat both Zaysim together, both Chatzi Zaysim together, which he certainly didn't do. And Rav Asi would agree that you're potter from Eivor Menachai in this very same Mitzvah. Rav Asi Chiddush is that if I go like Rav Yochanan, namely, that Hanaz Grono Komachayiv, that's going to apply in Shari Surim, even if he spit out the first half of Zayis and then took a different half of Zayis. In such a case, it matters not. He's Chayiv because of the Hanaz Grono within Tokidei Achilas Pras. So frankly speaking, I mean, I shouldn't say these words, but I'm more on the I'm more on the page of the Ramban and less on the page of Rashi here. No need to make a machlokes. Bar Rabbi Loza mi Rav Asi. Rabbi Loza came along and asked Rav Asi the following question. And we're going to soon see that the reason why Rav Elazar asked this question is because he was being very discreet and very diplomatic about it. He really wanted to get Rav Asi to remember what he heard from Rav Yochanan, and what he said in the name of Rav Yochanan that we just learned is not what he actually heard from Rav Yochanan, but Rav Asi in the meantime had forgotten some of what he heard from Yochanan. And here Rav Elazar is trying to, he's using a ploy with the hope that he would stimulate the memory, jolt the memory of Rav Asi. Ochal chatzi zayis vihikio v'chazar v'ochlo mahu. I have a different question. I'm not concerned about Hanos Grono. You're right. Hanos Grono is mechayev according to Yochanan, and therefore, if you have this Hanos Grono of a full zayis, even if it was piecemeal, but it was kedei achilas pras, you're chayev. I want to know about a different sugya, and that's the sugya of equal. Equal means that at some point we may want to suggest that the food is not called food. It's called refuse. It's called refesh. It's something that you completely disqualify. Like, for example, you know, you could talk about the husks of a kernel of wheat. You know, today again, it's more popular to eat those parts. I don't know, the different parts of a kernel of wheat, a kernel of barley. When a person eats something that was already eaten, if you follow me, and stop me if you don't know what I mean, I'm just trying to avoid using those descriptive terms over and over again, then he might have eaten something that's already subject to equal. Ayin, yud, chaf, vav, lamed. And once it's subject to equal, it's no longer in the parash of achila. It doesn't constitute an achila. You would be chayav for it, you wouldn't be mekayem mitzvah with it in the case of matzah. My kami boile, what was the root of Rabbi Loza's safek? Iavi equal, iloavi equal. Shall we consider that something that was already swallowed and then it was brought up again, it was regurgitated, shall we assume that it's already mos? Equal means mos. Mos means it's not something that's edible. It's waste. And that's what's called in the language of Rashi and the Mefarshim, peresh bi'alma, pei resh shin. That word peresh is a reference to something that's waste, that's refuse. It's not called an achila. It's not subject to achila. Now, usually the word equal means digested. That's not really our point here. The word equal in our context is that it's not an edible substance. Rashi says, havi equal, havi pirsha bi'alma. That's called peresh. The achila shnia, when you eat it a second time, after you ate it once and you regurgitated, lav klumu, that's not called an achila. The food is just, shall I say, non-edible. Who would eat such a thing? And therefore, tiboile kizayis, the real suffix of Rav Asi, of Rav Elazar, which he presented to Rav Asi, would be, even if he took a full kizayis, swallowed it, and then he re-ate it, the same kizayis, would he be chayef for one violation, or for two violations? Is he chayef one set of malchus, or two? And it all depends upon the status of this ochel. On the first round, he ate ochel. But on the second round, he ate perish, if you hold by equal. Ella, the Gemara says, Ibasa grono aslinon. Ibasa meov aslinon. The reason why Rav Lozar asked about a chatzi zayis vikio and not a kizayis sholem is because he's really interested in this suffix in getting down to grassroots, is that how you say it? About whether or not you can integrate one chatzi zayis with another chatzi zayis. Now, if that be the case, you want to know whether it's basa grono aslinon or basa meyav aslinon. Is v'tifshot lei midar avasi. So, if that be the case, then what is Rav Lozar asking Rav Asi? I mean, Rav Asi has already taken a very obvious, outspoken stand on this issue, namely that basa grono aslina, and therefore if you eat a half a kizayis, spit it up, and eat another half a kizayis, you've already eaten, as far as the garon is concerned, a full zayis. Comes along Rav Lozar, and he's asking a question about a person who ate a kizayis, then regurgitated and re-ate the very self-same kizayis. Well, then why does Rabbi Lazar say ochal chatzi zayis v'ikio v'chazar v'ochlo mahu? If he's asking, we're in a Mimonashav situation. There are two possible sveikas here. One possible sofa you can vacillate about is what we call anos meov anos grono, correct? Another possible suffix is to waver back and forth and vacillate about equal or lo avi equal. Those are two independent issues. If Rabbi Lazar's problem, his vacillation was about equal, then he should have formulated his question in terms of a fool's eyes. He's confusing us by deliberately presenting his question in terms of a chatzis eyes. Chatzis eyes has to do with tziruf, and that depends upon equal or grona. But from the fact that he asked this question formulated in terms of a full kizayis, it must mean that he was focusing on the issue of equal. And if he's focusing on the issue of equal, he should have known the answer to this question based on Rav Asi, because Rav Asi said that we can be mitzarif the two chatzizaisim. So let's read the Gemara again inside. My kami boil. What was the root of the suffix, the essence of the suffix of Rabbi Lazar? If you're going to tell me iavi equal, ihavi, iloavi equal, then ti boile kizayis. He should have asked the question and formulated in terms of a kizayis. He was confusing us by formulating in terms of a chatzizayis. Ella, but therefore you want to say, no. Why did Rabbi Lazar formulate his question in terms of a chatzizayis? And the answer is he was interested in determining whether basar grono hazlinon or basar meyav hazlinon. Which means, can we say that basar grono hazlinon, therefore we could be mitzarif within kedeach kilus pas the hanor that he got in his goron from the first half of his eyes, with the hanor that he got from his garn with the second half of his eyes, is then I'm confused. Because v'tifshotle midrav asi, why did Rav Lazar have a suffix at all? He should have determined that basa grono aslinim from the case and the statement of Rav Asi, where he ate a half his eyes, and he regurgitated, and then he ate a different half his eyes. That itself, the chiyuv itself in that case, is predicated upon Hanos grono aslina, because he never actually swallowed a full kizayis. He didn't have hanos meyav of a full kizayis. Ipso facto, Rabbi Lazar should have derived from Rav Asi, because Rav Asi himself is predicated on the premise of hanos basar hanos grono aslina. So the Gemara answers Rav Asi Gemara iakir le. Rav Asi had forgotten some of what he heard, some of what was transmitted to him by his Rebbe, Rabbi Lazar. And he only remembered the issue of Hanas Grono, which means that he spit up half of his eyes. And could he be chayef for such an achila? And the answer is yes, because of Hanas Grono. But there was part of the transmission from Rabbi Yochanan that he had forgotten. And that would be the case where he regurgitated the first half his eyes and then ate the same half his eyes a second time. And that's a question of equal or not equal. So Rav Asi Gomre Iakerle, that which he learned from Rav Yochanan, he had forgotten. Iakerle means it was removed. It was uprooted. He had forgotten it. V'asa Rabbi Elazo La'ad Kure. And Rabbi Elazo comes to jolt his memory. And how is he going to succeed in jolting his memory? He's going to ask him, well, what's the deal if he ate the same half his eyes a second time? And after regurgitating it, he swallowed the same half his eyes. The point and the goal of Rabbi Lazar was to remind Rabbi Yochanan, remind Rabbi Asi that what he heard from Rabbi Yochanan was not just Hanas Grono, but that there's no equal. And when we combine those two principles, namely one is Hanas Grono, us Azli Bas Hanas Grono, and B, Leka equal, Loavi equal, then we come to the conclusion that not only you chayev for eating half a zayis, regurgitating and eating another half a zayis, a different half a zayis, but that you chayv even for eating half a zayis, regurgitating that half a zayis, and re-intaking the same exact chatzi zayis, because if there's no equal, then you chayv for such thing because of hanas grona. V'hachi ka'amar leh. And this is what Rabbi Lazar had in mind when he asked them the question, Lamali chatzi zayis acher. Why did you have to formulate the transmission of Rabbi Yochanan that you heard from Rabbi Yochanan in terms of a different chatzi zayis? Lema mar bididei. Why shouldn't you, Rav Asi, say bididei where he ate the same? Bididei means it. In and of itself, meaning the same half as I is, if you were to formulate the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, not only in the case, not only in the case where you ate another half as I, but even if you ate the same half as I second time, and then we would derive the only way I could justify that you're chayev for eating a half as I and then re-eating the same half as I is if I conclude if I derive two different principles, both of which are the predicates that underlie this chiyuv, shamine delavi ikul, because again the second half is ice is the first half is ice after it was regurgitated. That's called loavi ikul. Vishamina mine da re nene grono because ice. Again, at the end of the day, he only ate a half a zayis from the perspective of Mayav. So it must be that if you're chayav for re-eating the same half a zayis, that's because of Hanas Grono, because zayis Ishtik. And Rav Asi said nothing. Velo Omale, velo Midi, he made absolutely no comment in response to Rabbi Loza's question. And I guess the project of Rav Loza to remind and jolt the memory of Asi was a failure. He did not succeed. And I prove this from the fact that Ishtik, that he didn't say anything. What he should have said was, that's what I heard from Rav Yochanan, actually, that he re-ate the same half of Kazayas. Amalei. And now Rav Loza turns to Rav Asi after he didn't get a response from Rav Asi. Mofes Hadar. You are the greatest in our generation. Lo zimnin. This is a rhetorical question. Lo zim. Isn't it true that sometimes sagim means frequently. Amarta amrit kame derab Yochanan vi amalcha hare nene grono v'kizayis. There were a number of times in the past where you have transmitted to us that you heard from Rabbi Yochanan. You said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that even if he re-ate the same chatzi zayis, he'll still be chay. So at the end of the day, I think what's happening here is that Rav Asi forgot the second chiddush of Lo Avi Ikul, and he never was able to remember that. But Rav Loza said, I can tell you what you said to us in the past, so you can rely on my memory, where your memory is a little bit... That's what I say, that's what marriage is all about. That your wife remembers what you forgot. And you get to the point in marriage...
You accept it.
That you accept it, exactly. That you have total faith that your wife remembers what you forgot. Now, if you don't have total faith, she may be reminding you of something that never happened and that you never said. That's a problem. Because she knows that you rely on her. So now she has carte blanche. You know, she can tell you that you said you're going to buy her $1 million mink coat and you'll have to believe her because your memory is shoddy. Right?
It's interesting that the Gemara actually recalls what Rav Asi originally said.
Mm. When you say Rava,
the Gemara,
right?
Records it even if his memory was lacking.
Meaning this last line, is that what you're referring to, or what? Which line in the Gemara are you pointing out?
State, yeah. The original statement.
Statement of Ravasi. But because the Gemara records this whole dialogue.
Yeah.
Now you're right. If it wasn't a sugya in Gemara, if this was, you know, a Shulchan Aruch or the codes of the Rambam, then we could have abridged this whole sugya and just gone straight to the Gullet, you know, and said that if a person eats Ephesias, then he regurgitates and eats the same Ephesias, he's chayav. That is the final. No, that's the bottom line of the sugya, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan, on many occasions, was quoted as saying. But the problem was, he was quoted by Ravasi, and then Ravasi forgot about it, and the original transmission was lost, but it wasn't totally lost because Ravasi... See, there's the Rebbe, there's the Talmud, and now the Talmud becomes the Rebbe, and there's another Talmud. So you have three generations. So you've got Rabbi Yochanan, he's the Rebbe of Ravasi, and all of Ashas, you have statements of Ravasi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and dialogues between Ravasi and Rabbi Yochanan. And then you have Rabbi Loz in the next generation who heard the Torah of Ravasi, but much of that Torah was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Talmud remembered things that he heard from his Rebbe, which the Rebbe himself didn't remember that he heard from his Rebbe. So that's the fascinating thing about the transmission of Torah, that sometimes in the later generations we have a greater clarity about what was said in the earlier generations than we do in that middle generation, which is closer to the earlier generation. Then we go back in time, so to speak.
So, are there other instances of Ravasi forgetting? There's a number of Gemaras where people forget.
Right. Rav Yosef, for example, forgot all his learning.
Right.
Yeah. They had to just. He had total amnesia. This is partial amnesia because he didn't remember the basic principle of Hanos Grono. Now, the equal, which is more of a technical question, I mean, it's also halakhically important, but it's not as important as Hanos Grono. That he forgot, and that's where Ablaza had to set the record straight. Now, I want to point out to you a question here of the Tosis Yeshanim. Now, if you have a Gemara Yuma, you'll find the Tosi Shonim printed on the page in a classical, you know, Vilna Shas. The Tosi Shonim found a Gemara in Yuma that seems to contradict our sugya. Okay, we still have 15-20 minutes, so I'm hoping to get this in under the wire, and then we'll pronounce the parak complete. What does it say in the Gemara in Yuma? The Gemara in Yuma is focused on a sugya of truma, and specifically of a zar who ate truma. When a zar eats truma, he violates a very severe iser, which is called achiv misa bidei shamayim. The Gemara points out that the zar swallowed truma, and then he regurgitated it, and someone else, presumably another zar, re-ate the truma that was already eaten by. So you have let's call it Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi here represents the Kohen, okay, and Reuven ate the truma of Levi, and then regurgitated, and Shimon ate the same exact truma. And it says the following: Harishon chayov, vasheni potter. That's not what it says, actually. I'm just trying to use that pedagogically because that sort of simplifies it. It's more complicated than that. Why? Because for eating truma, forgetting about the heavenly punishment, you know, divine punishment, which is called misa b'dei shamayim, there's also a monetary punishment, and that's called keren v'chomesh. That's meted out in the courts down here. You know, Bezen shall mat. The Rishon is going to be Chayav Keren V'chomesh. Why? Because he ate Truma. And Zar Shokol Truma is Chayav Keren V'chomesh. The Sheni is not potter completely. He has to pay what's called Dmei Eitzim. Now, Dmei Eitzim means, that's sort of like a phrase in the Gemara, it's an abstract concept. I'll just read it to you. Hasheni Mishalim Dmei Eitzim, and that's what he pays. Now let's try to explain this. Again, this is a little bit off the tangent, but let's just get it straight. The Rishon, who's Reuven, he's a Zar, he has Truma. That Truma has a value to it on the market, a monetary value. You could sell Truma. Again, you're not going to get much for it because the law of supply and demand kicks in here, and only Kohanim would buy Truma to eat it. But, you know, maybe a Yisrael would buy Truma insofar as he wants to give it to a Kohen and fulfill the mitzvah. So if he's very pious, or, you know, he has his favorite Kohen and he wants to give it to the Kohen. So it has some value. That value is called Dmei Eitzim. Now, when Shimon ate Reuven's Truma, he did, in effect, steal Reuven's Truma. Again, Reuven's not a Kohen, but he does have some ownership value to it, you know, which we can evaluate as called Dmei Eitzim. Now, again, you know, the Gemara could have used the term Dmei Truma, but the Gemara deliberately avoided that because, keep in mind, Reuven ate the Truma and regurgitated it. So it's really not, even on the market for Kohanim, it's not really worth Truma. It's worth Eitzim. You know, it's like, you know, what would you do with this regurgitated Truma? You would probably use it as fuel, you know, for your campfire. So it has a very minimum market value. Now, from the fact that Reuven pays Dmei Eitzim and he doesn't pay Keren V'Chomesh, what do you see?
I meant Shimon.
I'm sorry, I got confused. From the fact that Shimon pays Dmei Eitzim and not Dmei Keren V'Chomesh, only Reuven pays Keren V'Chomesh, what do you conclude? Yeshikul or Einikul?
Yeshikul.
And the Tosfos Yeshanim is bothered because the final conclusion of our sugya is ain't equal. And a person is chayev for eating that which was already eaten. Here, Shimon is potur, at least from Dmei Keren V'Chomesh, which is the chayev for eating Truma, because the principle of equal kicks in. Now, in order to answer and reconcile these two sugyas, ours with the sugya at the end of Yuma of Truma, we have to approach it in one of two ways. One way is to say that Truma is different. The other way is to say that the cases are a little bit different. And it's not a difference between Truma and Chulin, but it's a difference in the Metzias of the cases. So let's learn the two answers of the Tosfos Yeshanim. The Tiretz. Yesh lechalik. Oh, you know what? I'm going to start with the second answer first, because the second answer is Truma's different. Shona legabi Truma, hoil ukvar nischalila bachilasol shel rishon. The mitzvah of Truma, once it's fulfilled, removes Kiddushas Truma. That's called Chilul Kiddushas Truma. At what point in time was the mitzvah of Achilas Truma complete? Are you following me? Or should I run that by you one more time? Again, there's something called Chilul Truma. Now, Chilul, there's a whole, you know, there's a Chagadi, a whole slew of premises. Premise number one is there's something called Chilul Truma. Premise number two, when does Chilul Truma become a halachic reality? That's when the mitzvah of Truma was fulfilled. Premise number three, the mitzvah of Truma in this case is the mitzvah of Achilas Truma. Premise number four, which is really, that's the punchline of this discussion, is at what point was the mitzvah of Achila complete? What's the answer to that?
It wasn't eaten by a Kohen at all.
It wasn't eaten by a Kohen, but the Maisa Achila, which would, had it been of a Kohen, would have been done in this Chefta, at what point? When Reuven ate the Truma. So that Achila, which again, had he been a Kohen, would have constituted the action that clinches the Kedushas Truma, that now is the Chil of Truma. Therefore, the achila of Shimon would not engender the payment of Keren v'Chomesh, because as far as Truma is concerned, the Iser that engenders a chiv of Keren v'Chomesh is the Iser of Chil Truma. In other words, when you let's say you have in front of you three things. You have the Truma on the table, you've got a Kohen here and Israel Azar here. The Kohen, when he eats the Truma, is Mekayim the mitzvah of Truma. The flip side, the antithetical side, is when the Zar eats the Truma, and that Achila engenders what we call Chil Kedushas Truma. Because it's the Achila, but the opposite of Achila. Not the Achila the Torah prescribes, but the opposite. Once Reuven, eats the Truma, he effectuates a Chil Kedushas Truma, and therefore Shimon is not chayev for, he's not chayev in Keren v'Chomesh for Chil Kedushas Truma because it's already been nischal. That has nothing to do with our sugya, which is not a Truma sugya, it's a pure nechal sugya. And even though lo havi equal, in Truma, nevertheless there is an achila, and that's enough to be machal Kedushas Truma because the achila zar is machal. Even though, if it wasn't Chil Truma, then Shimon would also be Chayiv. And that's going to be the Nafkimin in our sugya. But let's say it was Nevela, Reuven ate the Kazayis, Nevela regurgitated, Shimon is Chayiv for eating that Nevela. Now we go back to the first answer, and he says the following. Yesh lachalek, beinim asheni yodea, sharishon hiko, lebeinim eno yodea. Well, he wants to introduce another element into the equation, another variable. Was Shimon aware of the fact that Reuven ate it and regurgitated or not? And he says the following. If Shimon is aware of the fact that Reuven ate it, then that's called Maus Olav. Again, I'm not sure I understand the psychology here, but let's just take it on, on face value. Mos Olav. The reason why Shimon is potter here is because of the halacha of Mos. In other words, there are two elements that will determine whether equal, the principle of equal operates or doesn't. One element is objective. The fact that it was eaten already and it's been regurgitated. That moves us in the direction of equal. But that itself, as our sugya concludes, is not enough. You need another element. And that is yidias ha'achila rishona. You have to be aware of the fact that it was already eaten and swallowed. That's going to engender a subjective element of equal. And you need both A plus B. In the case in Masechta Yuma, you can check off both conditions. We have both the objective equal, meaning because it was eaten and as a matter of fact it was regurgitated. But we also have another element here, that Shimon was aware of this, that Reuven had eaten. When you have that second element of equal, that clinches it. And that makes it complete, total equal. So the reason why Shimon is potter is not just because Reuven ate it, but because it's Mos. And why is it Mos to Shimon? Because he's aware of the fact that it was eaten. Now, again, how that's going to square with our sugya, I'm not sure, but in theory, what the Tosi Yishanim is opening here is the possibility that although our sugya concludes that there is no equal, that's only going to be true if the second guy decided that, he sees food on the table. It looks, again, I don't know exactly under what circumstances this is. You'd have to take maybe some sort of a food that's very sturdy, I don't know, very hard, I don't know, or it's maybe it's enveloped in some, I don't know the exact mitzvahs. Maybe you'll come up with a mitzvahs for me. But a mitzvah such that you can eat it again and could be completely unaware of the fact that it was regurgitated. Maybe if you eat it immediately, before the digestive process, takes place, if you, what I mean to say, it was regurgitated immediately, then the food still looks like the original.
Yeah.
Are you willing to accept that? You know, that's what I think is going on in the Tosi Shadr. If that's the case, then you might have a second achila which is lacking the element of mos. Right? It doesn't disgust me. Again, my mind might make it disgusting if I'm aware of the fact that he already ate it. You know, that's despicable for me. That's repulsive. And that certainly would create equal, and that's the Sugin Truma, because Shimon, who ate the Truma, was aware of the fact that, again, why he ate it, I don't know, but he's aware of the fact that it was, and that creates the most. That most element now is what clinches equal.
So you're making a distinction between Shimon, he sees the food, he doesn't know it's been regurgitated?
Correct.
Or he doesn't know that it was Reuven that regurgitated. So,
I don't know, maybe you're adding another element to the question. I wasn't, Jeff, thinking in those terms. I was just wondering whether he's aware that somebody under the face of the earth, whoever it is, ate it, it's irrelevant to who it was,
see?
And regurgitated. If he's aware of that, then there's an element of mos here. When he eats it, or re-eats it, that's real equal, because not only were the metzias that it was eaten once and regurgitated, but he knows about that, and it becomes repulsive to him.
There's a shame to it. There's, you know,
right,
there's
a shame. Right, it's a shame. It's a shame of nechal. You know, he Shimon now realizes it was nechal, and that engenders mos. And in such a case, he's potter from Karen V'chomesh, because he did something that no one else would ever do, to eat something that somebody else ate. But if we don't have this variable of mos kicking in, and we just focus on equal and not equal, that's where our sugya assumes that there's no equal. Now, here's the next psychological rule that I think the Tosi Shonim is operating with, which again, you know, you have to ask the psychologist if this is so. I have no way of evaluating this. If a person re-eats that which he himself vomited, that's not called mos.
Because he obviously knows about it.
He knows about it, and yet he eats it, and you know, any saliva that got mixed in is his own saliva. Again, I'm using that with Saber to Ozen. I don't mean this literally, but what I mean is that he's not repulsed by re-eating it. You know, he, for whatever reason, you know, he coughed it up. You know, let's say his stomach was not in great shape. You know, he had a revolution in his stomach, I don't know what. But now he feels a little bit better. Again, within 8 minutes, because we have to say clear things fast. He eats it the second time, and he's not repulsed by the fact that he himself ate it. And in our sugya, you don't have a Reuven and Shimon situation. Am I right? I mean, you may have a different half a zayas, right? That the Gemara, is it the same half a zayas, a different half a zayas? But we're talking about where he eats, where one person eats the same half a zayas twice, and the Gemara's conclusion is that there's no equal. The Gemara there says there's equal. That's because it was mos. That's mos because of the fact that you have Reuven and Shimon. So those are the two answers that I see here in this thing. So Hadron Alecha Perek Yidan Noshet. Now the minig is that when you finish a perek, you just start the next Mishnah. That's what my Rebbe always used to do. So we'll just start the next Mishnah, which should be a Chazor for us, and then we'll stop for Mincha. Is Kol HaBosar Osur Levashil B'Cholav Chutz mi basar dogim vechagov. It means kol basar, that it doesn't matter whether it was basar behema, basar chaya, and even basar oaf. That's the real chiddush here. Because usually when the Torah speaks about basar, it does not include oaf. Oaf is a separate entity, a category of its own. But here, the Mishnah went out of its way to say kol basar. And again, I'm not sure if kol habasar in the case of oaf is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, because even if I reject the application of the isalos of Vashon, gdi, right, gdi is not oaf, to oaf, but nevertheless I might agree that midrabbanan, you're not allowed to eat oaf with cholov. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, v'osro lahalos imagvino ala shulchan. And so too, you're not allowed to put on the same table that you're eating from both basar, which means chaya ubehema, and oaf, which is Mirabbanon in this case. And again, that's going to lead to the whole question of Gzeir. If you remember, we discussed this at great length, because on the one hand, the Shulchan means you might eat it together. That itself is a Gzeir. Number two, Oaf is a Gzeir. Chutz mi'basa dogim v'chagovim. And dogim v'chagovim. Dogim v'chagovim is not basar at all, even in the expanded Rabbanon definition of basar. Now there are some people who have a minug, and I think amongst Sfaradim this minug is somewhat common, not to eat milk and fish in the same mouth. That's not my minug. I don't know if anyone here has this minug. We eat milk and fish. And finally, the Mishnah concludes by saying, and this is on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, I know there min habasar mutar bebasar dogim v'chagov, which implies again, if you take a neder not to eat meat, then the word basar includes even oaf. And that's a little bit confusing to me, because if oaf is only drabbanon in basar b'chalov, why should the neder include oaf as well? But certainly he's allowed to eat fish. He's allowed to eat chagovim. Again, I don't know when the last time you ate a chagov was, but if you're a Yemenite, maybe that's what you ate for breakfast yesterday. But the truth is, I've asked a number of Yemenites, and I've yet to find one that eats chagovim. So Rabbi Yosef Yirtz Hashem on Yom Chamishi, with you weren't here, David, when we discussed it, but at least I got two-thirds here. We would learn a little bit of Masechta Bava Kamma. Is that okay with you? You're on board? Okay, good. I'm thinking of starting a perek, but I'm not sure yet which perek. Right, yeah. It might be the fourth perek, it might be the fifth perek, it might be the sixth perek, one of those perek. So if you have a Gemara Bava Kamma, and you could bring that on Thursday, on Yom Chamishi, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to do it, and that'll take us till approximately Tisha B'Av. And then, you know, then we'll renegotiate. Yeah.